It's Kitten's Joy and Artie Schiller, and Artie Schiller's pulling away. Kitten's Joy is responding right back. Kitten's Joy on the outside. Artie Schiller, they're well clear in the Virginia Derby. It's showdown time in the Virginia Derby. It's Court Vision. Gio Ponzi on the outside. Gio Ponzi outgaming Court Vision.
But it's Silver Max. Silver Max, sensational. 7 for 7 on the turf this year. Silver Max, a tough superstar.
It's English B who leads it. Down the outside is Jason Solitude. English B, Jason Solitude. These two hit the wire together.
We're off to the races, powered by the Racing Biz, your independent voice for racing and breeding in the Mid-Atlantic. On the web at theracingbiz.com. On the radio, on ESPN Richmond, it's off to the races. Here's Nick Hahn.
And Patsy Cline to start off Virginia Derby week. Great Virginia voice. I'll try and match that up. What a grand opening to the show with Dave Rodman calling 3 Virginia Derbies there. Kitten's Joy in 04, Gio Ponte in 08, Silver Max in 2012, and then Jason Beam, who called English B's Virginia Derby win in 2019, the first of three, or actually the first of the middle leg of three of a guest we're going to have on the show today, Graham Motion. It's a little complicated. I'll explain that when we talk to Graham Motion in about 15 minutes on Off to the Races. Thanks for spending your Saturday morning with us on today's show. We'll have track announcer at Colonial Downs, Jason Beam, in our Living the Dream segment. Beam living the dream at Colonial Downs, as he's been calling the races since the grand reopening in 2019 of Colonial Downs. Graham Motion, as I mentioned, in about 15 minutes. Derby Bill Watson and Daryl Wood just around the corner here as well. But I tell you what, I don't even know where to begin. There is so much going on. Last 2 weeks, not that they were bad weeks at Colonial Downs, but a little bit of a lull in terms of the stakes racing, comes back with a fury this week. This is a huge week for Colonial Downs. You start off with basically an opening a day of racing where everybody really can go to the races on Labor Day. Most people will be off, and an opportunity to go out and see the racing action at Colonial Downs. Tuesday is Virginia Derby Day. Then closing day on Wednesday is full of the all-turf stakes racing, all the Virginia-restricted races on Wednesday. The weather is a little shaky, but 87 degrees with a 20% chance of showers on Monday, 81 degrees with a 50% chance of showers on Tuesday. It doesn't seem like it's going to be a lot of rain if we get any. And then Wednesday, only a 30% chance of showers. So more likely it is not going to rain than it is throughout the whole week at Colonial Downs. Big race at Saratoga today. That's where I am. I'm up in upstate New York. Spent the last 2 days here. You're going to hear about my Saratoga saga. I mean, I was just, I've never been in a position like that, like I was yesterday. You'll hear about an incredible ticket that almost took me for an incredible ride here at Saratoga. And you'll hear about that a little bit later in the show. Del Mar has the Pacific Classic today. 84 degrees out in Del Mar, even though I've seen some indication of a heat warning out there. I can't, 84 degrees? It can't be like that. Great weather today here at Saratoga. And, Kentucky Downs opened on Thursday. They have a full card today as well, $1 million race. The leading trainer, Colonial Downs, Michael Stidham, has a horse, Pixelate, in the $1 million feature out there at Kentucky Downs today. So just we'll be handicapping that race probably with Derby Bill later in the show. We'll try and get as many of these races in as possible. Let's go back to last week when the feature race of the day was in the meet here at Saratoga was the Traverse Stakes, and a track announcer that I have a lot of respect for, John Embrail, called this race that featured Epicenter as the favorite, trying to better the Preakness winner early voting, trying to better the Derby winner in Rich Strike, who was getting no respect, almost 11-1. Cyberknife was a horse coming into the race with a lot of momentum. John Embrail has the call of the Travers.
And there's a quarter of a mile to the finish in the 153rd Run Happy Travers. Here is Epicenter now to take over the lead. Cyberknife is down at the rail and racing in second. Zandon has now moved into third. They pass the eighth pole. It is Epicenter in front, and he is at the top of the three-year-old class. Epicenter won the Jim Dandy, and he backs it up with a very top-notch finish in the Run Happy Travers. Epicenter was the winner. The mile and a quarter went in 2 minutes and 3/5 seconds.
Congratulations to Epicenter there, winning the Travers. It's good to see redemption there with him finally getting what basically amounts as a triple crown type of win, winning the Travers. So congratulations to Steve Asmussen picking up his first Travers win. It was a week at Colonial Downs that didn't feature any stakes races, but that doesn't mean winning a race at Colonial Downs isn't a big deal. And we saw a special winner on Wednesday, and Jason Beam, who we'll talk to a little bit later in the show, has a call of this fifth race that featured Eagle Point Farms Tea in China.
Tea in China comes past the eighth pole. Here's Awesome Lawson trying to get going. Mrs. Shaw is warming up to the task. Broadway Peggy putting in a run with Some Nights as well. It's Tea in China past the 16th pole. Awesome Lawson with a final 16th to try to push on by. It's Tea in China holding on, though. Tea in China and Kevin Gomez going to go on to win it here by a length and a half.
Patrick Henry graduate, Patrick Henry High School graduate in Ashland, Karen Dennehy Godsey gets the win. Kevin Gomez delivering Tea in China for her first win of the meet. And we just know that was a special moment. A couple people on hand to watch those races on Wednesday. One of them was Daryl Wood, who now joins us on Off to the Races this morning. Let's get a little bit of music for Virginia Derby Week for Daryl here.
When you're talking on
you mean the Old Dominion, talking just southeast of heaven to the surf and the hills.
She is the best of 13 sisters and 37 more.
Best of 13 sisters and 37 more. Yeah, that's a good line. Good morning, Daryl.
Morning, Nick. What a way to start a Saturday.
Tell you what, I mean, just I am look at all this great racing action across the country, and here in our own neighborhood we have a big week in front of us with the Virginia Derby that was drawn, I guess, on Thursday. Boy, tell us about what fangoers who can go this week. It's a good week to go to the races with the holiday. What can they expect at the races this week?
Well, actually, we're in the middle of my favorite week of the year because we have racing at Colonial Downs Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and we've got harness racing here in Woodstock up at the Shenandoah County Fairgrounds. I'm standing at the winner's circle right now, so we've got both breeds are racing in the same week, and that's the only week of the year that happens, so in pretty good spirits today. But yeah, Derby Day is Tuesday, 11-race card. The Virginia Derby field has got 11 horses in it. The Virginia Oaks field has got 14 horses in it. And there's even an Oaks Derby double, so that's going to be pretty enticing for fans. But 11 races in all. The first race is 145. The Derby itself goes at 614. That's going to be the 10th race on the card. And we've got an all-stakes, all-turf pick 5 wager, an all-stakes, all-turf pick 4 wager. So lots going on, and you know, a little challenging day after Labor Day. But we're hoping people make it a 4-day weekend and come on out and enjoy the biggest race day of the year.
Yeah, come on out on Monday and come back on Tuesday after work with that late time. Hear that, everybody. 6:14 for the Virginia Derby. And so if you can get off work a little earlier or, you know, maybe an opportunity to catch back-to-back days, it's going to be a great Virginia Derby. We just heard T and China win for Eagle Point Farm this week, carrying the Dennehy Godsey, the winning trainer there. I wasn't there. I was driving up here on Wednesday, but you were. What was that like? Daryl? Maybe we lost Daryl. Okay, going to try and reach back to Daryl there, but yeah, it didn't even strike me this morning that Shenandoah, as I refer to it, Shenandoah Downs, just a great place to see harness racing, a great setting. That's going to be something to look forward to this upcoming fall with all the racing action out there. They start off with the fair this weekend, and then they continue with Friday, Saturday racing all throughout the fall. It's just a nice setting with the foliage and everything changing up there, and just kind of a real country fair type of atmosphere there. The Virginia Derby this week, let me try and pull this up. It's going to be a little bit of a challenge for me because I had no way to print a lot of this stuff, so so it's going to be a little bit of a challenge in terms of just all the doing everything off the screen. Daryl, we got you back?
Yeah, I got it, Nick.
Yeah, but we're just talking a little bit about the meet there at Shenandoah, as I refer to it. But Karen Dennehy Godsey's win on Wednesday, what was that like?
Oh, how exciting. Tea in China, and, you know, they just such a great facility up at Eagle Point Farm in Ashland. They've got about 100 horses up there most of the year, and just great to see somebody that's been so supportive of the local industry get a big win. And you can see a lot of their stable hands were in the winner's circle. Even one or two of the pony riders got other horses and joined too. So just great to see, you know, local people do well.
You know, and you see that the local horsemen, as much as it's been a benefit for the live racing and the business that it draws, sometimes that purse money just draws the outsiders, so to speak. So you don't really see the locals win. It's a hard thing to win a race at Colonial Downs. So when it happens like that, whether it's someone like Leanne Hester or Ferris Allen, who you know, used to be leading trainer of the meet when the purse levels weren't quite as high, it's really great to see. What do we have Virginia Derby Day in terms of giveaways and contests and special events?
No, I'm glad to mention that because it's the biggest promotion in Derby history. We're going to give away $25,000 in cash that day through a series of $500 prize drawings. So 50 people are going to win $500. We're going to draw five names out after each of the first 10 races. So this isn't a Rosie's promotion. This is a racetrack fans promotion. Hope we get a whole bunch of people out there to leave with $500 and enjoy the biggest afternoon of racing of the year.
Yeah, and then closing day on Wednesday, the all-turf stakes card there with the five races, just a great opportunity. What are your thoughts on the meet? So, I mean, we're kind of in the final throws last week. Everything's been drawn. Great job by the racing office all meet long with Allison DeLuca, the director of racing, you know, handling all the cards. Zen, who we've had on the show, handling the simulcasting. Jill Byrne, of course, we hope to hear from her after the meet, just to kind of get the wrap up. But, you know, what are your thoughts just on the meet and closing day?
It's been fantastic. I mean, Allison and Jill bring in almost like they call it an all-star cast of race office folks to put together these cards, and they come from all over the country to spend 2 months in New Kent. It's exciting to work with them and be part of the action. The meet's been fantastic. The average handle is over $2.5 million a day. I mean, at one point that would be completely unheard of in New Kent. So I think the meet is just really sizzling. The future looks great, and let's finish it off with a big Labor Day card, Derby Day card Tuesday, and then a 12th race card on Virginia Stakes Day on Wednesday. So great way to finish out the meet.
Yeah, it really is. Get out there and catch it live. The weather's going to be it's going to work for us. Might have to bring a little bit of rain gear, but I don't expect to use too much of it myself. Thanks, Daryl, and good. Have fun up there in Shenandoah and in Woodstock there, Daryl Woodstock, as we call it, when the harness meet's on. And looking forward to hearing about this harness meet as we move forward on off to the races this fall.
You got it, Nick. Post 10 today is 12 noon, and listeners can follow us on the Shenandoah Downs Facebook page. But 9 races today, and weather's fantastic.
Great. Great. Daryl Wood joining us from Central of Woodstock and this morning. Going to reach out now. Graham Motion has won the Virginia Derby, the last 3 runnings of it. And this is a bit of an odd stat. I'm not sure this would ever be put on a plaque or anything for Graham, but I doubt it will ever happen again. He has won the Virginia Derby 2019, Just Howard, when it was run at Laurel, English Bee in 2019 when it was run at Colonial, no Virginia Derby in 2020 because of the pandemic, and then Wooten Asset, the reigning champ, in 2021. So he's won the last 3 runnings over the last 5 years in 2 different states. Graham, that's a remarkable accomplishment. Congratulations, and thanks for joining us this morning.
Yeah, well, thank you. It's an interesting statistic.
Wooten Asset was a nice winner for you last year, and just to, in case you forgot a little bit about how the race went, we got Jason Beam here who's going to bring us down the stretch run of last year's Virginia Derby with Wooten Asset. Here is his call of last year's Virginia Derby.
Indian Lake, it can be done. These 2 turn to the top of the stretch pretty much as one. They've been going at it the entire way. Here's Wooten Asset in the Mattaquette colors, who now looms up on the outside. Trying to follow that move is experienced. 007 is just in behind. Final furlong now. Wooten Asset strikes the front. It's Wooten Asset who goes by the 8th pole, 2.5 in front. Slick Back trying to get going down the outside with experience, but at the 16th pole, it's Wooten Asset and Jose Ortiz in front. Slick Back with 50 more yards, but Wooten Asset has that one's measure, and it's Wooten Asset to go on and win it by a length.
Nice win there by Wooten Asset. What do you remember about that race last year?
Well, I remember that Jose gave him a beautiful ride, for one thing. But, you know, he's a very nice horse. He actually ended up having an injury after I took him out to California after we ran him in Virginia, and he came up with a little issue, so he's ended up having time off. And he's almost ready to run again. He's a pretty cool horse.
That's good to hear. I hadn't really heard that much about him over the year, so it's good to hear that he's still in racing and an opportunity to come back. This year in the Virginia Derby, you drew the rail, and this gives Royal Patronage. This has to be out of the same sire, right? Wooten Bassett? Is this the same sire as Wooten Asset? It has to be.
That's exactly right. Yes, quite ironic to come back this year with a horse bred the same way.
Now, this is a horse that spent the most of his career to date running in England, which you know a little bit about, I'm sure, but has come back and tried some grade ones, the Virginia Derby, a little bit of a drop here, going to a grade 3 and a mile and an 1/8. You know, how do you assess your chances in the Virginia Derby, a race that one time sort of eluded you, but now you've become the master of the Virginia Derby?
Yeah, I mean, certainly this horse is running some top-class races in Europe. He came over for his previous connections. Charlie Johnson brought him over to run at Belmont in the Belmont Derby, where he ran a credible race, getting beaten just over a length. I decided to run him back up here at Saratoga, where I am now. And again, he ran a very decent race, only beaten 3 lengths. So I'm hoping, you know, a slight step back in class, a slight step back in distance is going to help him. And I actually like the one hole. I don't think that's a bad post to have.
For why is that at Colonial Downs? You think it's just from where they start? Is this a horse that needs a little bit of pace to run into, or of what is you think the approach with a Joel Rosario who will be riding? And Rosario has all your he's riding a lot of your horses on Virginia Derby Day. What do you think happens from how the race sets up?
Yeah, I mean, Joel's probably one of the top riders in the country, so I feel very fortunate to have him. And the fact that he's ridden this horse twice, he knows him pretty well. So I think that gives us a big advantage, and I'm not going to be giving him a lot of instructions, that's for sure. But I do like the fact that when you're drawn down on the inside, turf racing is all about saving ground as much as you can. Just find the shortest way to the winners, to the wire. So hopefully by being drawn inside, that should give Joel a good trip.
One horse that that Royal Patronage raced against is Annapolis, was nominated to the Virginia Derby, but you're going to see Annapolis today up here at Saratoga when he goes up against Piqua in the Saranac Stakes. Are you happy that you're going to see Annapolis today up here at Saratoga versus seeing him on Tuesday down in New Kent?
Yes, I am. I mean, unfortunately, I'm not able to run Piqua today. He's going to come out of that race. But yes, I'm glad to see him running up here and not down in Virginia for sure.
The Virginia Oaks is the race just before the Virginia Derby, and you have three in this race, Sparkle Blue, Candy Light, and Grand Oak. At one time, you were sort of stereotyped as a female turf specialist. That all went away with Animal Kingdom and a number of other horses, not to mention all the Virginia Derby winners. But three in the Virginia Oaks, there are 14 horses of it in that group. How do you assess the three that will be starting for you in the Virginia Oaks?
Yeah, I think this is a pretty competitive race. I'm taking a shot with a couple of these. Obviously, Candy Light is coming out of an allowance race at Saratoga, but I this is the race I've had in mind for her for a while. I think having Joelle on her would be huge. And she really ran a respectable race at Saratoga last time, and she just needs to relax, and I think Joelle will get her to do that. Sparkle Blues coming off a win in the Christiana at Delaware. So she's a half sister to Shared Account and Sharing, both of whom won the Breeders' Cup. So she has some pretty good credentials. And I thought Jeremy gave her a great ride last time, so I'm glad he can stick with her. And Pharaoh's Song was a filly that we bought out of a sale in Kentucky. And, she ran third when the race came off the grass last time at Laurel. And I think we'll see improvement from her on the grass.
I mentioned to our listeners, it's going to be a little difficult for me to keep the program because I have to do it all on the computer. I wasn't able to print out the sheets. Grand Oak is actually your 2-year-old filly that is going to be running in the Rosie Stakes. Grand Oak is this is a horse that has a little bit of experience racing in England as well.
Yes, we actually also bought her out of the same sale that Pharaoh's Song came out of. And she was coming out of a disappointing race in England, but in a very tough race. We took her up to Canada last time, and she wasn't beaten very far at all in that race. We're coming back a little quickly this week. It's just over 2 weeks since she ran. But she seems to be doing well, and I like her chances, obviously.
You had a nice win. I've got a chance to see you in the winner's circle up here this week with Bye Bye Melvin, who won a race for you up here at Saratoga. But tell us a little bit about the experience of just racing horses up here at Saratoga and closing day on Monday approaching us. But what are your thoughts about that Bye Bye Melvin and just getting a winner this week?
Yeah, I mean, anytime you can win a race up here at Saratoga, it's a good thing. It's not easy up here. It's so competitive. It really is the sort of the major leagues, I guess. But this is a horse that we like a lot. He actually won a stake up at Saratoga before and was coming back off off some time off. Ran a close third, I believe, up here a month ago. And I thought he won really nicely the other day with Johnny Velasquez. And I'm hoping we can step back into a stakes race with him next time.
The Virginia Derby coming up on Tuesday. This is a race that you've now won three times. It was kind of real elusive for you early on. It wasn't elusive for Jonathan Shepherd, who is, you know, certainly a mentor of yours. He's made the comment, as you have, you know, that it's a shame that the Virginia Derby's not $1 million when you guys were winning it. you know, tell us about just, you know, coming off and now finally reaching success in a race that was owned in the early runnings by your mentor.
Yes, I mean, I had some close calls in this race. And I think we're going to find, you know, Colonial's going to only increase in prestige in the next few years because it's becoming known as a place to come to in the summer. It has such good facilities. The surf course is so good that I have no doubt that the Virginia Derby is going to become more and more prestigious as the years go on here.
Yeah. Well, you've played a big role in making it, especially in the recent runnings, you know, playing as a part in that prestige. Good luck on Tuesday in the Virginia Derby and the rest of the stakes card. And looking forward to seeing you down in Virginia this week.
Sounds good. Look forward to seeing you. Thank you.
Great. Graham Motion joining us on Off to the Races this morning. He is going for his fourth consecutive Virginia Derby. We're going to go to break here on Off to the Races. When we come back, Frank Vespi will speak with track announcer at Colonial Downs, Jason Beam, who has a lot of 14-horse races to call here in the final week at Colonial Downs. I think there are five of them on the Tuesday and Wednesday card. You're listening to Off to the Races, powered by theracingbiz.com.
Living in the sweet Virginia. Mark your calendars for the Grade 2 Charlestown Classic and Grade 3 Charlestown Oaks to be run once again on the same night, Friday, August 26th. This spectacular card features seven stakes races worth over $2.4 million in purses. A special first post time is scheduled for 5 o'clock Eastern under the Friday night lights. Live racing moves back to a Thursday through Saturday schedule starting in June with first post at 7 p.m. Eastern. So be sure to join us this summer for the best racing West Virginia has to offer here at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races.
The leading sire of PA-bred two-year-old winners in 2021. Peace and Justice is the hottest young sire in Pennsylvania. Recently, the PHBA announced even more incentives, making now the time to breed and race in Pennsylvania. This year, over $600,000 in purses will be offered with the first-ever Pennsylvania 2-Year-Old Stallion Series. Call today and book your mare to Peace and Justice, the only son of Warfront standing in Pennsylvania. Learn more at peaceandjusticepa.com.
Harness the mountain magic at Shenandoah Downs this fall as Harness Racing returns to Woodstock, Virginia for an 8-week season beginning September 16th. Watch, wager, and win 10 times each race day. Happy Hour Racing every Friday starts at 3 o'clock and features $2 draft beers and $1 hot dogs. Saturday racing starts at 1 o'clock and on September 17th, it's free long sleeve t-shirt day. Own a horse for a day and win thousands of dollars. Shenandoah Downs, where admission and parking are always free and the races are family friendly.
Champion Gunrunners, Full Brother Fortune Ticket, and the regally bred Group 1 winner Long River are just two of the exciting young stallions standing at Maryland's Anchor and Hope Farm. In his first year at stud, Fortune Ticket figures to be a hot commodity, standing for a fraction of the price of his big brother. And Long River's first runner should hit the track this year. Also at Anchor and Hope are leading regional stallions like Holy Boss, Editorial, Bourbon Courage, and Imagining. Anchor and Hope Farm, bringing the best to the Mid-Atlantic. Learn more at anchorhopefarm.com.
More days, more money, more fun, Colonial Downs. More days, count them, 9 weeks of racing in 2022. More money, more than $600,000 in average daily purses. And Virginia bred, sired, and certified runners race for more money in our restricted program and bonuses in open company races. More fun, more turf racing than anywhere else in the country. And new this year, a low 12% takeout on the Pick 5. Colonial Downs, more days, more money, more fun. First Post Monday through Wednesday, 1:45.
Welcome back, everybody. Frank Vespi here on Off to the Races, and taking over for Nick Hahn for a little interlude here. Going to be joined by Colonial Downs track announcer Jason Beam. Jason, welcome to the program.
Hi, Frank. It's good to be with you.
Well, we appreciate you making a little bit of time, and if I sound like I'm in an airplane hangar, it's kind of because I am. I'm in the grandstand at Timonium right now, so we got some noise here. But I want to start you with this, Jason. You guys race Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, which gives you a chance. You had a little bit of a busman's holiday last weekend. You got up to Charlestown for the Charlestown Classic card. You got to Timonium on Saturday. How'd the Mid-Atlantic bull rings treat you?
It was a lot of fun. It was the Charlestown night in particular was really, really good. I thought they put on a fun show there. The crowd was good. They were wild. I mean, it was, you know, West Virginia folks know how to have a party. So that was really good. And I got to see some good racing, and I saw a lot of people that I'd never met before and got to, you know, see, you know, meet people I knew of but had never met, and so that was a lot of fun. And at Timonium, I'm convinced that you can't have a bad day at a fair track. Like, I've been to probably five or six of them between mostly California and Oregon, but it was great. We went and walked around the fair afterwards and ate some lousy food, and it was good. Lousy in a, you know, non-nutritional way.
Yeah, like fried Oreos. Yeah, I gotcha.
That was precisely what the group had.
I don't know. It's all about the fried Oreos. Although Dave Rodman has been talking a lot about the pickled pizza. So
yeah, I don't do pickles at all. But no thanks.
Okay. Well, I'm a big believer in fair meets. You know, brief fair meets. I really think it's a way that racing introduces a lot of people who otherwise are never going to go to a racetrack. And some of those people are going to come back.
Yeah, they're, like I said, the atmosphere is just always unique. It's a lot more celebratory, and you do get, I think, a lot of people kind of checking out. But even Timonium, I mean, the racetrack, as is often the case with fairs, you know, the fair itself and the racetrack are usually a little separate. And it seemed like most of the crowd there was pretty deliberately there for the racing, which was cool to see because it was a pretty nice crowd for a Saturday afternoon. But, you know, it's just, there's just a unique feel to it. There always will be, you know, you're getting a little bit maybe closer up than you can at some places. And there's almost a charm to the, you know, the fact that it's not so glitz and glamoury.
Talking with Jason Beam, track announcer at Colonial Downs. Jason, let's talk about your current job a little bit. Now, you also call the races at Tampa Bay Downs. So you've called the Tampa Bay Derby, which is an important stop on the road to the Triple Crown. You got the Grade 3 Virginia Derby, the top race at Colonial coming up on Tuesday. And I'm just curious, from an announcer perspective, are there butterflies before these big races? I mean, how are you approaching them?
There are for me. I've still never been able to get rid of the nerves for big races. I mean, and honestly, you know, opening days and any time that it's not kind of your standard thing, I still get pretty antsy. But I've learned to better control them, and I've kind of – what's weird is that it's the Tom Petty line, right? The waiting is the hardest part. Like, once you get there, I seem to have a moment usually about a quarter mile into any big race where I take a little bit of a deep breath and I go, I remember how to do this. I'll be fine. And then it always seems to work out, knock on wood. But, yeah, I mean, I 100% get nervous for the big days. And usually it's kind of fine until you wake up that morning, and then it's you just kind of a knot in your stomach all day.
Your style of announcing, you know, some announcers are sort of the big sort of crescendo-y types. You've got more of an understated style, and I'm curious as to whether are there announcers that you sort of patterned yourself after or that you took inspiration from in developing your own sort of unique voice?
It's interesting. I feel like with influences, you can't avoid them, right, because you're, you know, you just look, whether it's a musician or an announcer or whatever, but like Vic Stoffer was one of my big influences. I don't call like Vic at all. And so, but I think it was, I kind of learned what I liked and what I maybe wanted from an announcer in different spots. I think growing up listening to Robert Geller probably had an effect. I always say my style's maybe most similar to Dave Rodman. He does a little more of the up and down, you know, for big races and stuff than I might. But, you know, I think we're both kind of fast and try to get, you know, pump out as much information as possible and be as accurate as possible. But my rule is I don't want to ever take away from it. And, you know, I try to, my personality in general is a little more outgoing and jokey and all that kind of stuff. But when it comes to race calling, I try to keep that out of it. And I just remember that people are, you know, people want to know where their horse is and who's moving and who's not, because they have bets on it. And, you know, one of my pet peeves is guys that get really excited when there's a huge long shot that wins, because they kind of forget that 95% of the crowd just lost their money and don't want to hear them screaming about it.
No, you're exactly right. It's kind of funny. We get excited about long shots, but the truth is, yeah, the track wants the favorite to win, because then most people win and then they come back and bet more. So let's talk about the Virginia Derby a little bit here. A couple of storylines. We just had Graham Motion on, going for his fourth consecutive Virginia Derby win over six seasons in two different states. That's kind of a fun story to follow.
Yeah.
You got Chad Brown coming in with what I think is a little bit of a vulnerable favorite, and you don't necessarily say that all that often about Chad horses. I'm curious as to kind of what you're looking forward to out of the Virginia Derby.
Well, I think one of the interesting things is I think in both the Oaks and the Derby, there was only one horse in each race that has run at Colonial. So, you know, Colonial is very much, there's obviously the Virginia horsemen who want to run here, but it's a bit of a convergence meet, right? You have horses coming from Maryland, from Gulfstream, from West Virginia, from New York, you know, from all, kind of all over, from the other spots in the Mid-Atlantic. And so this race is a little bit representative of that. You have a number of horses coming down from New York, and obviously, I think a lot of people are going to be very excited to see a lot of the big name jocks that are coming in, both the Ortiz brothers and Manny Franco. And I think the first horse I saw on the Saturday program was Joel Rosario in the first race. So, you know, the big names are coming down for sure. The Chad horse, I disagree a little bit on the. I mean, you know, any favorite can get beat, but he got stuck behind a really slow pace. Emmanuel in that last race just totally walked the dog in the Pennine Ridge. And so I thought it was actually a pretty, like, kind of a sneaky, decent effort, and got beat by another horse in this race, Limited Liability, who I also like. And I think Limited Liability was even more stuck behind that slow pace. And then in the Belmont Derby last time, I mean, was closing in, and Classic Causeway went gate to wire that day. So I think this horse, the 9 Especially Limited Liability, was just kind of up against it from a bit of a pace standpoint, likes to come from way, way back, and is a little dependent on things getting mixed up early. But I think there's enough early speed to where that might happen in here.
So it sounds like you're kind of leaning towards that horse as a top choice.
Well, because I think the 9 is going to be a better price than the 7. To me, they both look like extremely solid competitors. And Graham's horse obviously is dropping in class, which, you know, you mentioned the winning the race 3 times in a row. I mean, this horse is certainly coming in with some few positives as well. And so, and Joel Rosario being one of those. So, but yeah, I mean, a lot of it will depend on price. I'm not a picks in advance guy, because if the price is way different, then that answers who my pick is more so than who I like.
Yeah, sure. It's all about the quest for value, and that's how you make money in this game. And now you got 4 undercard stakes supporting the Virginia Derby, including the Virginia Oaks and the Rosies, which bring us the Breeders' Cup winner. To you, some of the top things you're looking for out of the undercard.
Well, the Oaks, obviously, the field of 14 is very exciting to see. And, you know, I mentioned to our race office staff, you know, kind of some of the big names they were able to lure to come to these races. And I think, you know, for Chad, I don't think run here since I've been here. I know Todd has sent a few, but, you know, we're starting to get the biggest names in the sport to send horses down here. And this race is a lot of fun. It's obviously, from an announcing standpoint, going to be a tremendous challenge. I think both the big races are on the inner turf this year. The rail, they're setting at 30 feet. The first year I was here, both were on the inner, and then last year both were on the outer. So, and I guess this week or this year with the rails out a bit, it's kind of in the middle somewhere, but they will be on the inner course, which I always think produces a little bit more exciting of finishes. The outer course of the turn is sweep, you know, are more sweeping, and the stretch just feels longer and wider. And so they feel like they don't sometimes produce those kind of wild finishes that we get on the inner. So I think the Oaks is going to be an extreme challenge to call races, but field size doesn't always mean it's harder. It's just, I guess there's more potential for things to happen, but you know, if one or two horses pulls away, then it's just like calling a 5-horse field, because you're only focused on that top one. And then the Rosie Stakes, I'm terrible at handicapping these like young 2-year-old races because you're really trying to project who's going to move forward. Because I don't think any of their necessarily efforts that they've made in the past are going to be just good enough to win it because these horses are all growing and maturing. That being said, locally, as a horse, I think is going to be a long shot. Phil Schoenthal had a horse, Flamingo Phase, and Phil's not a trainer to like have him really cranked up for their debut. And this horse just flat out ran down another horse in a turf sprint in its debut. So I'm really excited to see if Flamingo Phase can take another step forward. Because like I said, Phil's not one to really have him cranked and ready to go. And so the fact that this one ran so well on debut makes me think there's something there.
Yeah, and I'm kind of a fan of horses that run past other horses on their debut. You know, you get a lot of flashy winners go gate to wire, and you're not sure what you got. But if you run past horses, well, that's a useful skill. So,
and in this particular race too, like in this particular race, there's most of these 2-year-old stakes like this. Like you said, there's 3 or 4 horses that all went gate to wire, and something's going to have to give this time.
Can't all do it again. Last question, and I'll let you go. Obviously, the racing office has done a great job to put together all these 14-horse fields. I imagine you and the chart callers, though, are aligned in cursing them for giving you all these 14-horse fields.
Well, yes and no. Like, is it more of a challenge? Yeah. I find I memorize better when there's more horses, I think, because in my brain, I know that I, like, really need to be on it for those races. And so in a weird way, like I feel like I just memorize better. And that's such an important part of announcing. But Allison, who's our racing secretary, is also the secretary of Tampa. And our boss from Tampa was, sent us a joint message saying, good job. I said, yeah, we could have used maybe only 12 instead of 14. But they did awesome. And believe me, if there's 14 every race, I'll deal with it because it just means the product is that much better. And to me, that's what's important. I want bettors to see what Colonial Downs can offer, and I'm hoping that they show up. And hopefully we get a good crack at breaking our handle record, which I think we set last year on Virginia Derby.
All right, good stuff. A good place to leave it. Jason Beam, thanks so much for joining us here on Off to the Races, and good luck. We'll see you Tuesday.
We'll be there. Thank you.
All right. Nick, we'll throw it back to you. That was Jason Beam. Big, big week coming up in Colonial Downs.
Boy, I had a chance to see the announcer's booth while I was up here. And they basically cantilever you over the track like a gargoyle up here. Colonial, I think, is a little bit easier, but also probably some weird angles in whatever announcer's booth you're in.
I just saw an interview with Tom Durkin, the longtime New York announcer, where he said that he loves Saratoga. It's his favorite place in the world. The announcer's booth is the absolute worst in racing.
Oh, my God. You almost want, like, somebody to hold on to you or strap yourself in. You're, like, hanging over the track so much. How is it's closing day at Timonium, I guess, Monday. How has the meet been up there? Just kind of a quick thought.
Oh, we're having fun. I mean, Timonium's Timonium. The fields aren't the best. The racing isn't the highest quality, but it's such a fun atmosphere. And I was sitting here the other day, and there was a race. I'm on the air with Callie Francois, and we're sitting there we're under the grandstand doing the handicapping, and the race goes off. And the crowd, the horses come down the stretch, and you can hear the crowd cheering. And she turns to me and says, listen to that crowd, because people are going crazy. And it's cool because you don't get that experience in very many racing venues anymore. So to be at a place where the crowd isn't here for the simulcast, they're here for the product on the track. A lot of them don't come out any other time. And Saratoga is the same way at a much higher level, but this is a cool experience. So, for the 7 days we do Timonium, it's tremendous.
We'll get a little bit of that at Colonial Downs this week as well, that live crowd. It certainly is an enhancement. Frank, thanks a lot, and we'll see you tomorrow. Can't wait to check it out during live racing. Never done
that. We'll be here and look forward to it. Thanks, Nick.
Great. Frank Vespi joining us from Timonium, where I don't know what device they're using to get all the fair food ready, but it must be nuclear because it was pretty loud there at Timonium. But what else do you want with a fair? Want to bring in Derby Bill here just around the corner. I'll tell you a little bit about my toga saga from yesterday. It all kind of started a few weeks ago, maybe a couple months ago, during one of the Powerball lotteries. I was explaining to my wife, Sarah, about the chances of winning the lottery versus winning a pick six. And I was like, every time we get an urge to play the Powerball, which we don't play a lot of lottery tickets, we should play the pick six in racing instead, because it's more realistic to hit. And sometimes the payouts are in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. So, but kind of focusing on that a little bit more through the Saratoga meet and even the Colonial Downs' meet, about let's playing some pick six tickets. I don't like a lot of pick six wagers playing like big 10, 20, because I have a hard enough time hitting a pick three or pick four, and I find those just as rewarding financially included as the pick sixes. I've never hit a pick six that I could remember. Yesterday I played a $2 pick six ticket. It started out with everything being singled, and of course it's a $2 minimum. So one of the horses that I folded in was a complete homer pick. And that was a horse by the name of Hale 2, which was bred at Woods Lane Farm, who are still owners. Woods Lane has Wolfie's Dynagos running Wednesday at Colonial Downs, by the way, as part of the stakes program there. That horse wins and pays $40. So I'm starting out, and I jokingly reply to Derby Bill, who you'll hear from, and all the guys that are on our text chain, that I'm alive in the pick six with a $40 horse. Everything else was singled. And race six goes off. And I have security code in that race. Wins. Then race seven goes off. And I had Topic Charger in that race. Singled. Wins. Some of these were like at big prices in the stakes race. The first stakes, the lucky coin. I have Thin White Duke, pays over $10. John Velasquez aboard. In the Prioress, the stakes feature. All right, this is now going into the fifth leg of the pick six. I have Wicked Halo, gun runner that wins there. And so all of a sudden, I'm alive. Looking at about an 18, I think it was 18,000, but I'm not so sure I read it right on the board. I'm alive with a $2 ticket with Conquest is all I need to win. One of the biggest favorites on the day in the last leg. He has a lead at the top of the stretch. I'm about to win 17 Gurr on a $2 ticket. And Curlin's Wisdom comes up and catches him inside the 16th pole, wins the race. I do cash a $440 five out of six ticket, but and the pick six with Curlin's Wisdom paid over, it was like $149,000, and it was just the best of feelings and the worst of feelings in the same moment. I can't even describe my emotions when I saw that horse at the top of the stretch. Would have been by far the biggest ticket that I cashed, and Derby Bill. You were on that text chain with me yesterday. I mean, just what did you think of that last race? Were you cheering me on as well as Conquest?
No, well, I had the first two in the race, but I knew yours was a dying rat. He died about every race he runs. He did that. He did that like once. I bet on him beforehand, not for 17 grand, but I had him in a race and he died and got passed right at the wire the last time he ran. So. You know, I wasn't shocked by the fact that he got passed, but it's very disappointing for you because I could use a loan, Virginia Derby Tuesday.
After all the struggles at Colonial Downs, I've had two really good days up here. Boy, it's going to be tough driving back south and facing Colonial again this week. with the 14-horse fields. We got the Virginia Derby in front of us, and so Derby Bill, let's kind of get you into the handicapping mood and see what you might be thinking about handicapping-wise in the Virginia Derby.
Well, Daryl mentioned it. I believe the pick five is, races 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. So that's the Virginia Derby, the Virginia Oaks, the Rosies race, all stakes turf five. So that might make up for your, should pay as much as your losing ticket there at Saratoga. I would anticipate a big pool Tuesday. There's nobody else running in the world. And so, you know, I think, 17,000 is possible if you can pick all five of them out of these pretty big fields if they stay. If it stays high and dry down there, Nick, it looks pretty enticing to play more than one race.
In the Virginia Derby, I think I might tip off your pick for the race if you've solidified it. Let's take a listen to this. Obviously, Cat Scratch Fever, Ted Nugent, and there is a horse making his third start in the Virginia Derby, trained by Michael Stidham, who's going to be the leading trainer of the meet, it looks like. He has, I think I wrote it down here, 12 wins, and he's got Pixelate today in that million-dollar mint at Kentucky Downs. But Michael Stidham has a Kitten's Joy that won at Colonial Downs with Hevian Toledo aboard, who's going to end up with, it looks like, the riding title. He's five ahead of Lionel Reyes at the moment. He has 23 wins. So even though he's going to have the leading trainer of the meet, leading jockey of the meet, this horse could probably go off at a price. Do you like Catnip here?
Well, I bet him at Colonial Downs a maiden win when he won, but it did say Squad Doodle. So this time it will pay. I think he's 15-1. It's his third race, so that's a big question mark for a three-year-old. As a lot of these others are much more experienced, and he has a solid upside with the Kitten's Joy breeding. We know what that does. I mean, it's gold on the turf. So, like you said, Stidham and Toledo are hot here. But this one, I'm going to have to continue to look at this race because there's a. Several more experienced horses that I have my eyes on, too. But nothing wrong with Catnip. He definitely will be the pick of the SPCA here in Richmond.
Yeah, I mean, just looking at this field for the Virginia Derby, and we'll have a lot more on the racingbiz.com. And, of course, my picks will be up with that. But you got Wow What a Summer, the horse that cashed a big ticket for me at the Penn Mile is part of a pick three, a horse that paid, well, it was 83-1 when he won the Penn Mile. That's a horse entered in the Virginia Derby. You got Shug McGahee, who finally, that's one thing we were talking about, Karen Dennehy Godsey and Shug McGahee, they both got wins this week. That's what the two have in common. But he has limited liability, another Kitten's Joy in this race. And, you know, it's just a wide-open race. I mean, the Virginia Derby doesn't quite hold the prestige and the purse that it did a while back, but since they shortened it and the field's just – it's a better race than it's been in the past. I mean, Irad Ortiz coming in town and staying the night, it looks like, in Richmond because he's also named on the Wednesday card at Colonial. So this is a national jockey coming down and spending some time in Virginia to race at Colonial Downs.
Probably the hottest jockey in the country is Joel Rosario up there where you are at Saratoga right now, just gobbling up every part of your pick five or pick six yesterday. He's just red hot riding everything, and he's on Royal Patronage, which is the Graham Motion connection. Graham Motion's won, the last three Virginia Derbies, no matter how you call them or where you hell them. He's definitely targets this race every year, Graham does. And as you said, the Wow, What a Summer. He's really taken a nosedive late in the summer here since that big win he had at 37-1 for you at Penn. He's really been in the tank, so and not really going to follow that horse. I think he's 20-1. Wow, What a Summer. It's not having summer to remember there. Dan Scholar's a holy boss horse with jockey that's really impressive. George Rouet has done very well here at Colonial Downs. So you're talking value in this race, and you're going to have to take a look at it over the weekend here. They had a horse they actually stole from the big race. The big race with the three-year-old turfs that stole all our top, major league three-year-old turfers out there at the Kentucky Downs for $750,000. You nab one back here. Interesting for you, Nick. Camp David is cross-injured in that race, and then they nabbed him yesterday for the Virginia Derby, and I think he'll come here. He can't get in the other one. There's still, alternative entry into that race. Michael Maker's horse, and has a whole jockey you might remember, has won here a few races here at Colonial Downs. Horatio Karamanis gets the mount for Maker on Camp David. So that might be a live long shot there if anybody's looking to fill the superfectas and the trifectas, because I believe there'll be a good opportunity to visit the IRS agent if you hit the superfecta in the Virginia Derby.
Want to? We got about 2 minutes left of handicapping here, and I don't want to take you away from Colonial if you got something to offer handicapping wise, but want to talk about this race up at Saratoga up here today with Chess Chief of Virginia Bred, 30-1 in the Jockey Club Gold Cup, a mile and a quarter on the turf, on the dirt rather. Dynamic one in this race. A lot of horses we know, Olympiad. Looking to bounce back off a disappointing Whitney. What do you think about the Jockey Club Gold Cup up here today?
Yeah, Chess Chief's almost trying to get $1 million in earnings for Dallas Stewart, but the horse has been actually improving a little bit here over late summer. So if you want a 30-1 or more, I think he's going off higher than that, maybe up there where you are today. But Olympiad looks pretty tough there, just a really solid 2-1. American Revolution's right there with him, so some horses to put on top of, and then hopefully the Virginia horse comes in, third or fourth and enhances your Jockey Club Gold Cup $1 million race. So definitely interesting card up there today with the Flower Bowl and then the three-year-olds on the turf that I thought we'd get for the Virginia Derby, a horse called Annapolis. That'll be interesting to see in the Saranac. So there's three-year-old turf races, turf horses everywhere today, Nick.
Yeah, how about the Pacific Classic? Don't want to let this race go away. Flightline has won the five. Got about 20 seconds for a pick here. Does Flightline win?
Oh, Flightline's 1-5. It's Baffert's world out there, but Flightline's, Flightline Country Grammar, everybody remembers, won the Dubai World Cup. It's the only one that has a chance to beat him, Country Grammar. So, but there's not a lot of money in that race, so. Yeah, spend your money at Saratoga today, Nick.
Great. We'll do, and good luck, Virginia Derby. We'll be back in Virginia for all that. And good luck today, Derby Bill. And we'll talk to you next week. I want to thank everybody that was on the show today. We got Daryl Wood, Graham Motion, Jason Beam, Frank Vespi, and, of course, Derby Bill Watson. We'll talk to you next week to recap it all, a big week at Colonial Downs. Hope you get an opportunity to check it out. We'll talk to you next week. Off to the races, post time, 10 o'clock.